One thing that I love doing that we haven't done in a while, obviously my fault, that we haven't done in a while is I love to just go through a single book of the Bible together. I remember back, if you'll remember, we went through Colossians together. We did that series through the seven churches of Revelation. And what you get to do is you get to sort of explore how the book interacts with itself, right? You get to see sort of all of the things tie together. That was something that we really harped on in Colossians. And because of how crazy our schedule has been since that point, we really haven't had many opportunities to go back to that. So I want to do that for the rest of this summer. We're going to spend 7 weeks. We're going to spend 7 weeks in just a killer book. And we're going to be 7 weeks in the book of Philippians. Philippians I'm really excited for because we are in this season of serving and learning together in really kind of ground level ways, really digging our roots down together. And so as we start Philippians, our goal is going to be the same as when we start with any book, right? We want to figure out who's it written to and why. We want to figure out some of the big recurring themes. And we really want to figure out what's the one kind of big overarching lesson that covers everything else. Now the answers to those three questions are this, and we're going to see most of these answers right here in the opening passage of this book. Who's it written to and why? It's written to the Philippians because they were near and dear to Paul's heart and to his ministry, right? We're going to realize very quickly that Paul is tight with these people, okay? The second thing, what are some of the big recurring themes? Words of encouragement, words of thankfulness, words of admonition, okay? The Philippians were a church full of people that were very generous and kind-hearted, but also had a couple other things going on the side that Paul didn't totally love. Okay, that's really the overarching thing of the book, or some of the recurring themes. But the biggest lesson here in Philippians, and one that I so much want to focus in on for the rest of this summer, is something called adopting the gospel mindset. Now, that's not the words that Paul uses. Those are the words that we're going to use. But this book, the book of Philippians, is about being how we are called to that gospel mindset for the furtherance of Christ. This is the whole idea for the book. Okay? And so, as we get into Philippians, and I want to keep these messages, at least here in July, kind of shorter, because I want to give you guys more time since we don't get to hang out on Wednesdays. I want to keep these messages maybe a little shorter. That never goes well, but I want to at least try it. I want to like put it out in the world. As we get into the Philippians, I'm just really, really excited to see what the Lord is going to show us. So let's pray this morning and let's get into the Word. Father, we just we thank you for this service opportunity that we have through VBX to get in the trenches and to roll up our sleeves and to really lock into what you've called us to. Your purpose for us is so rich and so vast and so big, and I thank you for allowing us to be just a part of this. I pray that this morning you would encourage us and show us how to change our mindset for the furtherance of your gospel, for the furtherance of your word, of your goodness. And Lord, make us this morning what we are not yet. And all these things we pray in your name, amen. All right. So, we're going to go through Philippians chapter 1, verses 1 through 18 this morning, okay? So let's read. Paul and Timothy, bond servants of Jesus Christ. So Paul and Timothy are kind of writing this. To all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making request for you with all joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being very confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Just as it is right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my chains and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers with me of grace. For God is my witness how greatly I long for you all with the affection of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in the knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things which are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense until the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. But I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. We're going to talk about what those things are, okay? So it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. And most of the brethren of the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even from envy and strife, and some also from goodwill. The former preach Christ from selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my chains, but the latter out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. So what then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and in this I rejoice, yes, and will rejoice. So Philippians is sick, okay? Philippians is just sweet. One of the big things we're going to see in this book is just how much Paul loves these people. Paul's got a big place in his heart set aside for the Philippians. And we see this in chapter 4. You guys don't have to turn with me. But Paul says to them somewhere in chapter 4. I didn't write it down. He says, in all my travels, no one supported me with gifts and prayers quite like you. Okay, so Paul loved these people because they had his back. Okay, while he was going out on his missionary journeys through Asia Minor and into Greece, the Philippians had his back. Right? There are all these stories, and we'll see it if we ever have the time to go to 2 Corinthians. Right? There's a whole chapter where Paul dedicates it to talking about all the garbage that's happened to him. Okay, all the shipwrecks and all the times he had stones thrown at him, right? All those times. And the Philippians had his back. Philippians were there for him. So Paul's like, I got nothing but love for you people. Right? That's not always the case. We see it with Galatians, right? Paul is like not happy with those people. He says, who has bewitched you? Right? You don't say that to like your homies. You say that with someone you're upset with. Paul low-key had beef with them. Well, Paul really loves these people. Paul's appreciative side really comes out, right? And tone like that, the appreciative tone that Paul has in this book, influences the meaning of the book, right? That kind of, the fact that we have in the back of our minds here that Paul loves these people and he's got no animosity in his heart whatsoever toward these people, influences how we interpret the rest of the book. This sort of stuff is really, really, really important once we get kind of into the weeds of understanding and interpreting meaning, which, by the way, in Bible study, that's always your goal, right? Paul is still going to rebuke the Philippians about some big picture stuff, but he's not nearly as frustrated as he is in Galatians or in 2 Corinthians. He's very grateful for these people, right? And so, this is just for free, right? When you're studying the Bible, you always want to take every shortcut that you can to figure out ways to interpret meaning and tone, right? Because that's going to help you understand stuff. So while Paul is thanking them for his love, or for their love, he really gives some encouraging words, okay? Let's look at verse 6 here. He says, you're always in every prayer of mine, thankful for your fellowship in the gospel. And I'm very confident of this thing, that he, capital H, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. So what's that saying there? Paul is saying, I know that Jesus has begun something in you. I'm very confident of this thing. And because he has started this thing, he will complete it. Now, what is this thing? It is sanctification. Ooh, a return to the classics. That sanctification that he has begun in us, that redemption arc that we have going on, Jesus will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ, aka when we meet him and our narrative arc is done. The redemption arc has completed itself, right? Paul is saying, you are not done yet, but you will be, and that's going to be cool, right? That's very encouraging. That verse can get you through a lot if you let it, right? This idea that Maybe you have like one sin that you struggle with and you keep finding yourself falling back. And then you find this verse, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it. Sometimes you need that. Sometimes you need that encouragement, right? That, okay, this thing, I haven't gotten past it yet, but I will in Christ. He's very confident in this thing, right? That's sweet. I love that stuff. There's that old K-Love type song that he's not finished with me yet. I don't know if you guys know that one. That's like an old school. That was old when I was a kid, right? But it, banger, right? That idea that God is always working on us. Like that road project on 390. That's just been going on for like 15 years. Bro, someday that's going to be done, right? Believe it or not, that's someday going to be done, right? And then it's going to get some potholes, and then it's going to have to get redone again, right? But it's been going on forever. But someday it'll be done. And you will too, right? Someday you'll be done too. It's crazy, right? Like, that idea of, we've seen that, like, highway thing going on for our whole lives. At no point in our lives has it ever been just, like, chilling. Just done. Just complete, no work having to be done on it. There's been construction trucks over there almost my entire life. But someday it'll be done. Right? Caleb says, cap. Whatever, dude. And then verse 7 and 8, he keeps the idea rolling. Now, there's some tricky phrasing if you're reading out of the New King James or the ESV. But the message here is really cool. So this is out of the NLT, if you'll follow in verses 7 and 8. It's out of a different translation. So it is right that I should feel as I do about all of you, for you all have a special place in my heart. You share with me the special favor of God, both in my imprisonment and in defending and confirming the truth of the good news. God knows how much I love you and long for you with the tender compassion of Christ Jesus. Right? Paul's saying, you have a special place in my heart because you're with me as I'm going through my imprisonment. Right? That's what he means, in my chains. Paul's in jail right now. Paul locked up. Right? Hashtag free Paul, right? But you share with me in the special favor of God. Paul is saying, I have special favor from God. Don't pay attention to my shackles right now. Your boy got special favor. I have that ace in the sleeve with God. Just don't pay attention to these chains. You might miss it. Right? No, but really, like, that mindset is crazy. God knows how much I love you and long for you with the tender compassion of Jesus Christ. And then in verses 9 through 11, he goes through these, like, this is the things that I'm praying for on your behalf. And these are wild. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment. What does it mean for your love to abound? Does it mean that you don't have it?
Probably not.
No. It means that you have it. And bro, get some more. Keep going. Right? You already, like, I don't know, those of you who are in, like, track and field or whatever, you already set, like, a school record for the high jump, but I think you have more. That's what your coach has to tell you, right? Your coach has to be, I just saw you beat this record. I think you can do better. Abound in that skill. Abound in the love of Christ. Because you have it. But you can keep going. Abound in it. I love the word abound. Then verse 10. Abound in this love that you may approve the things that are excellent. Love that. Approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense to the day of Christ. Most of you know that I am a dork, a nerd about words. One of my favorite things to do is go on Google and look up a word and type the word, like, fill in the blank, whatever word, etymology. Etymology is the study of the origin of words, okay? So let me ask you this. Okay. Sincere. Yep. Sincere. Does anybody know where that word comes from?
No?
No? Probably not.
Probably not.
Check this out. The Latin root S-I-N, sin, is not the sin that we have had paid for on the cross. That is an English word. The Latin word means without. S-I-N means without. Now, C-E-R-I in Latin, ceri, is where we get the word ceramic. Okay? Clay, wax. Now, why does this matter? Because if I'm at a market in Rome and I'm selling clay pots on sale, vintage, or rather, perfect, high quality, Chinese ceramics, or whatever, like high quality stuff, I will say that it is sinceri, without wax. Okay? Because imagine Brie, my lovely fiance, who has a ring on her finger that is diamond.
Yeah.
Now, Brie, what if that diamond was cubic zirconium? Which is, by the way, fellas, Walmart brand diamonds. Okay? They are not diamonds. They look like it, and they are cheap, and they get scratched, and they are not good. What would you do if that diamond that I have been telling you is diamond was actually cubic zirconium? You'd be upset. You're allowed to say it. We would have a discussion. So it's not. It's not. You don't have to worry. I didn't build this all up the whole time.
Matt, can you imagine?
She would be upset if what I told her was a diamond was not. So here these guys are selling pots and things in the market, saying there is no wax in this. It is sincere. That's what it means. That's literally what the word sincere means. It means that it is without wax. Okay? Now that word evolves because of obviously like market culture and all that stuff. That word evolves to mean that it is sincere. It is legit. It is not fake. So for us, approve the things that are excellent that you may be sincere and without offense in the day of Christ. Okay? You got any wax in you? Right? That's a weird question, but do you have it? Right? Do you have those things in your heart that look to play the part of sanctification but actually don't? Right? Any of you who have grown up in church know how to play the game. Source for that? I was a kid who grew up in church and knew how to play the game. Right? People tell you, you know, those of you who are like sophomores, juniors, seniors in high school, hey, you know, what are you going to do when you graduate? Are you going to keep going to church? Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah. There's a lot of kids at this church who have said that. We haven't seen them in a while. Right? No shade, but it happens. Because church kids know how to play the game. That's why Paul's telling these people to be sincere. Because he's saying, your love abounds. You've got it. But are you sincere? Is there any filler in there? Right? Now that's super rich. That's really, really rich stuff. That we would be sincere and without offense in the day of Christ. Now, Paul's going to use this word sincere again when he talks about the haters and posers that are preaching Christ out of selfish ambition. Right? We'll get to there. And then verse 11. Paul says to be filled with the fruits of righteousness. Now that sounds similar to something else we've read before. Fruits of the Spirit. Which are, these fruits of righteousness are by Jesus to the glory and praise of God. That sounds like cause and effect. Right? These fruits come how? By Jesus. Not by you. By Jesus. Big stuff. Big, big, big stuff. Okay. So then we get through all those prayers and encouragements and admonitions, and then we get into the gospel mindset, which I have left myself 10 minutes for. Okay? Let's read this passage. Let's read 12 through 18 again. But I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. Now remember, he's in jail. That jailing that happened to me, the imprisonment, has actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel, so that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. And most of the brethren of the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some, indeed, preach Christ even from envy and strife, and some from goodwill. The former preach Christ from selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my chains. But the latter, out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. So what then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. And in this I rejoice and will rejoice. So, verses 12 through 14, Paul is saying he is in jail, but it's actually a good thing, which is crazy. It's nuts. When Paul was locked up, it seems to have made other people up the ante, right? He says, most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are now more bold to speak the word of Christ. So, everybody is looking at the fact that I am in prison, and are saying, all right, let's go. Right? Paul got all the homies fired up. It's crazy, right? Like, somehow the fact that he went to jail made the gospel go out more. This is Paul we're talking about. This is Paul who could not go one day without talking about Jesus, right? Couldn't help himself. But yet, him being locked up has been a good thing. That only happens in the Lord. That only happens in the Lord. And then what happens is in verses 15 through 18, Paul starts roasting and toasting these posers. Now, these people say, Paul says these people preach Christ from envy and strife. How do you do that? How do you do that? It's very possible, but how do you do it? You preach and teach in ways that elevate yourself first and Christ second. Now, that's very easy to do if you are not careful. It's very easy to do. If you look up on Google famous American preachers, you're going to find a whole lot of haters and posers that Paul's talking about that preach out of strife and envy, right? And this passage is our introduction to what we will refer to throughout Philippians as the gospel mindset. Now, the gospel mindset, I've been saying that a bunch of times. I haven't really explained it. Here's what it is. It's living with the interests of Christ in the gospel elevated above your own. Okay? When you have when you have prioritized in your mind and in your heart that no matter what happens, as long as Christ is preached, I will rejoice. That's the gospel mindset. Okay? I can be in jail, but as long as the word is going out, let's sing about it. Right? Like, that's the gospel mindset. That's what Paul is showing off right here. Not showing off, but it's displaying. The gospel mindset is something that Paul, throughout the book, is going to bring up. He's going to bring it up a lot in chapter 2 when he talks about the afflictions of Christ. He's going to talk about it a lot in chapter 3 as he talks about running the race. He's going to talk about it a lot in chapter 4 when he says that you can be content in all things because through Christ all things are possible. Oh yeah, Philippians chapter 4. That's where that comes from. Weird, wild, crazy, gospel mindset. Paul says, okay, I'm in prison. No worries. I'll minister to the guards and to the other prisoners. I will preach to the palace guard and they will know Christ. People trying to tear me down while they're preaching. Well, hey, they're still preaching. Gospel's still going out, though. Can't touch me. Sir. Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. And because Christ is preached, I will rejoice. That is wild. That is a wild, wild mindset. That as long as Christ is getting the glory, anything at all can happen, and we're good. So as we move into the rest of this VBX season, as we roll up our sleeves and get in the trenches of service, is this our mindset? Chances are, this Wednesday, it will be rainy. Will that stop us from having a gospel mindset? No, better not. Your group might have 6 coaches and 4 students. Will that stop you? Will that stop our gospel mindset? No, of course not. No. Skip people, you may forget a line that in every rehearsal you've had down pat. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. Sources, I was a skip person. Will it stop us? No. No. These things don't stop us. We will not let these things stop us. Because as long as Christ is still preached, which by the way, at VBX, he will be, let's rejoice. That is the only thing that matters. Everything comes secondary. That gospel mindset will evolve our ability to serve. Total level up. This month, to those students, we are the hands and feet of the gospel. And having that gospel mindset that Paul is going to be talking about here in the book of Philippians. Big deal. Big, big deal. And honestly, watching you guys serve on Wednesday had me feeling like Paul in verses 9 through 11. Where I'm just like, I want your love to abound. I want you guys to be sincere. I want you guys to be without offense, right? I want this to be authentic. I just see that God's love is moving in you all as coaches, right? And skip people. Shout out. And I just pray that it keeps going. I want everybody to show up on Wednesday jacked up on Mountain Dew, right? That's the kind of thing that I want to see, right? I want to see these things abound and grow more and more. I want to see that you guys are sincere in your heart and in your motive, and that you won't let anything get in the way of the gospel motive. Or the gospel mindset will define our ability to serve and minister to these kids. VBX is going to be sick, right? If Wednesday was any indication, the camp vibes are real. All right, I was outside the shout room because during that transition time, I wanted to just make sure no one was getting lost or anything. So girls are coming in, boys are going out, and they're just like screaming at each other. Fourth grade boys, right? And I was like there. I had like chills, and I know it was like kind of cold out, but I was that was hype, right? I was like, the camp vibes are here. It was so sick, right? Any of us who had like who were a little touch and go about like, I don't know if VBX is going to be like as cool as VBS, doesn't matter, still lit, right? It doesn't matter. It's so sweet, right? That gospel mindset's going to take us far. And I'm really looking forward to it. So let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for your word and your encouragement, and I pray that our love would abound, that our commitment to service would abound, our fellowship with one another would abound, that we would be without offense, fully sincere in purpose and motive to your gospel. Lord, I pray that these students would go home and rest up and get ready for Wednesday, and that we would just be able to go all out every week for VBX this month. Let us be your hands and feet. and Lord, continue to make us what we are not yet. And all these things we pray in your name. Amen.